The plague of ignorance that has encompassed man in his current earthly challenge is one whose virus has overtaken the host of his heart. This ignorance has led him to forget that in the realms of the human experience, the axioms of morality are as immutable and true as those of mathematics. And this week's opening quote comes from Claudia Pavonis. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, I wasn't going to come back and do a show this week, folks, because I really didn't think I would have time, because I've got to fly back to Australia in a couple of days, and I'm in the middle of packing. But things in the world are just so crazy that I thought, well, maybe I'd come on and just discuss a few events that are happening around the place, because I'm not going to get a chance to come back and talk to you for at least a couple of weeks. I'd say it will probably be the 21st before I'm back on the air, so that will be 2 weeks from now. It's certainly been a ride, folks, this journey of activism in the last few years. It has certainly been a ride. You know, when I first began this, when I first began doing the radio shows, I really thought people would have woken up by now. But although there has been a huge growth in awareness, there hasn't been the groundswell that I hoped for, that many people were hoping for. There were many people that were really hoping to see a groundswell of people in the last decade. But it really hasn't happened that way, and there's so many distractions, and there's just so much going on now that it makes me wonder what it's going to take for people to see how they're being played. The propaganda is so thick in the world today. Has anyone noticed the advertising campaign in Australia trying to promote microchipping on the population? There's also been science shows that have been presenting this. The next big thing is microchip technology, apparently, that's going to save us and link us up with the internet and all the sorts of wonderful things they're talking about. Superhuman technology, it's been touted as in Australia. And the propaganda is just rife in all respects. The war in Syria is most certainly a war of propaganda as well. We hear reports in the mainstream media about how the rebels in eastern Aleppo are suffering terrible casualties at the hand of terrible Russia, when really the rebels in eastern Aleppo are ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra Front and all the Western-backed terrorist forces that are holding civilians hostage, which is why there are civilian casualties there. And we've got the white helmets going in there. We're being told these people are humanitarian aid workers when it turns out that they're actually smuggling arms into the Al-Qaeda and ISIS rebels. Again, all under the guise of the US protecting the world when nothing could be further from the truth. And the whole world seems to have gone slightly mad, folks. Not that it wasn't already perhaps slightly mad to begin with, but it just seems to have gotten worse. And the theater surrounding Hillary Clinton these days is also quite interesting. All sorts of talk about perhaps her having nervous twitches, perhaps her having Parkinson's, perhaps her even being dead. And I've seen online in the last week a huge campaign to get American expats outside of the country to register to vote, to do anything they can, because everyone is saying we need desperate support from everybody all around the world to make sure Trump does not get elected. And it all seems very strange, folks. And I wonder if perhaps it was all designed this way, so that Hillary was going to drop out of the election and Trump was going to be the only choice, and of course Obama will just not be able to let America fall into the hands of a man with a comb over, and so he will refuse to relinquish control of the Oval Office or perhaps cancel the election altogether, although it's probably a little bit late at that stage, so I'm probably getting behind myself or ahead of myself or something. But if Trump is elected, it would not be completely outside the realms of possibility for Obama to simply refuse to relinquish control of the Oval Office, because America is on such a war footing at the moment. And of course, if some major conflict were to break out before Trump was to take control of the Oval Office, then it's very doubtful that Obama would give him control anyway, just to save the country. I mean, I'm not saying that is going to happen, but it most certainly could happen, because all the cards are most certainly in place, and with World War III seemingly brewing on the horizon, well, it's really anybody's guess what's going to happen in the next few months. I'd say between now and February is going to be a very, very interesting time for the world, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it should be pretty obvious to everybody that the West, most specifically the United States, Great Britain, and Israel, have been attempting to kickstart World War III for some years now. They've been putting more bases as close to Russia as they can. They've been stirring up trouble in the Middle East for as many years as they've been able to do it, pumping as many arms into the area and really doing everything they can to destabilize Europe and just make sure the world lapses into war. And you've got to really wonder when the people of the West are actually going to say something about this. I mean, there can't be too many people out there that are still buying into whatever it is the television is telling them. I mean, things are so obvious now that I just wonder what it's going to take before people actually stand up and say we've had enough. I mean, is it going to take bombs falling on the United States or on England for people to realize that their politicians don't have their best interests at heart? I mean, what's it going to take for people to stop funding this and to stop supporting these criminals and stop supporting this fake war of terror? And really, essentially, to stop supporting the war for greater Israel, because that's what it is. I mean, Israel has already said that it's going to start annexing land in Syria. I think I mentioned that. I mean, it isn't even its country, and it's going to start annexing land in Syria. One of Hillary Clinton's emails said how they must destroy Syria for Israel. So, you know, it's pretty well obvious to everybody. The evidence is all there to prove it, that the war on terror is actually a war for greater Israel. And it's about time the people of the world called it, because we really don't want what is unfolding on the horizon to continue to unfold. And really, Putin and China and all of the rest of the crew, I mean, they will defend themselves as anybody should be expected that they will. I mean, as anybody would. And people have to see that it's the West that are the aggressors. I mean, we've stomped on all of these countries in the Middle East, Libya, Afghanistan, Iraq. We've surrounded Iran with military bases. We've put military bases all around Russia. We've done everything we can. We've put military bases all around China. We've done everything we can to provoke someone. Please, somebody, please fire a bomb at us so we can start this war. I mean, how much do we have to push you? That seems to be the subtotal of US foreign policy, folks. Push people as far as you can so that they have to defend themselves, and then call them the aggressor so that you can just start turning over the military machine and start rolling in those military dollars. That's what it's all about. Depopulation, destabilization, and lots of money. You know, this entire war on terror, folks, what this is Israel's war against the Arab world. This entire war is a covert invasion of the Middle East. You've got all of these Jewish interests who control US foreign policy who want to go and invade the Middle East and create greater Israel. So they stage the 9/11 attacks, and then under the guise of going out and protecting America, they have actually gone out and they've destroyed country after country after country, and they're continuing to do so. And the byproduct of them doing this is they get to milk the wealth of the Western world at the same time and impoverish the Western world, destabilize Europe, destroy America, and lock the rest of the Western world down into a police state. This whole thing is so contrived, and it is so obviously Israel's war against the world. That's what this war on terror is. You know, and it's pitting the Christians and the Muslims against each other. The Christians go out and kill all the Muslims because Israel tells them to, because the Christians have been talked into thinking the Muslims are actually a threat when they're not. And the Christians just get left to die from poverty at the end of it all anyway, because they won't have any money left. You know, Israel will milk the last cent it can out of the United States, and it will leave it as a desolate dust bowl with the people left to eat dirt. That's what they care about them. And it will destroy the Arab world while it does it, and it will use the United States to do it. This war on terror is fake. It is Israel's war against the rest of the world. A war being waged by the Jews against the Goyim. That's all this fake war on terror is. But the thing is, folks, you know, when you look at it and you see how it's all run, it becomes obvious that it's never going to stop. The politicians are never going to stop it. The country, the government are never going to stop doing what they're doing. And the only hope that the people of this world have of stopping all this war is to stop supporting it, to stop supporting their governments, and to stop participating in all of these scams. Stop going and bombing people. Folks, if you're in the military, quit. It's the worst job you could possibly have. All wars are bankers' wars. Don't do it. Don't go and bomb anyone. Stop fighting these wars. Stop killing people. Stop supporting your government. Stop paying taxes. Stop doing what these people are telling you to do, folks. That's what we have to do. We've all got to simply stay home for a week and stop participating in this system. That would make a big difference, folks. That's the best strike and the best protest you can have, is to simply stop complying with the system and stay home and don't participate. And I've said that so many times, folks, and imagine what it would be like. Imagine what it would be like if the entire country just stayed home for a week or a few days or whatever, if the whole world did it, if we just all said, no, we're not going to do it, we're not going to spend any money, we're just going to stay home. I think that we would see a massive change overnight if people just had the gumption to make some type of stand. But, of course, people don't generally want to hear that. They don't really want to hear shows about solutions. They really want to hear shows about all the problems, I think. That is according to what I see. Anyway, people seem to like the spy novel version of reality. They seem to like to get the next installment of what the evil plan is. But they really don't like anything that might suggest that they may have to act on their own to do something about it. And really, that's what we need, folks. We need people to start acting and doing things on their own, in their own community, and making ripples. And this is something that I've been saying for years, folks, but I'm wondering if I can really be justified in saying that anymore. Because it's getting to the stage now where the thing is, what can you do? That is the point. I mean, especially in countries such as the United States. I was speaking to someone the other day and they said, well, I'm trying to do what I can. But what can I do? I was thinking about letterbox drops. But if I do that, well, that's illegal. If I put DVDs in people's letterboxes, that's illegal. If I put flyers in people's letterboxes, that's illegal. If I put posters out in public, that's illegal. So it's getting to the point, folks, where it's almost getting illegal to do anything which may be waking anybody up. So, again, it comes down to finding some way of breaking the barriers down. You know, and I've often spoken of the benefits of attending council meetings or attending public meetings and just using that as a platform to get your message across. And if you've got the ability to do that in your community, then that's still a good way to go and inspire people. But if you're in a situation where you simply don't have any type of public meetings or any type of platform you can use, you're not able to do letterbox drops or any type of thing like that, which is going to spark awareness in your community, and you simply don't have any way of reaching the people around you, then for your own sake, perhaps just stepping away from the system is really the best thing at this stage, because for all of the solutions that I've been suggesting to people, you know, all of them are based on common unity in the community. They're all based on people getting together, breaking down the barriers with your neighbours and creating a situation where you can wake people up. But it's getting to the point now, folks, where in countries such as the United States, I mean, maybe not in Australia, we can still do letterbox drops, and there is still a possibility of creating some common unity in Australia, but if you are in a country such as the United States, or perhaps even England or some countries in Europe, if people are not awake now, then they're probably not going to wake up. And if they do, well, it's not really going to be in time for them to do anything. And for those people who are awake, I'd like to say to you that you should not lose heart and you should not lose your hope for the future, because we don't need all of the sleeping portals to awaken to make change. We just need the people that are awake to get coordinated. But if you are someone who is awake and you live in a country such as the United States or England or somewhere in Europe, I really do advise people to start making some type of preparations for your future security, like perhaps get a little bit off grid, perhaps think about leaving the United States or going somewhere else, perhaps think about leaving Europe and going somewhere else, leaving England and going somewhere else. People in Australia, I think, are going to be reasonably safe from any type of conflict that we're going to see unfold. But unfortunately, Australia is leading the way as far as microchipping and police state and surveillance technology and all this sort of stuff. So it's not really going to be a pleasant place to be anyway, although it is going to be a little bit safer than places in the Northern Hemisphere just for the time being, I think. But, you know, I've always dedicated my shows to solutions, and I've always believed in people, and I've always believed that people can make a difference on the ground, but it is getting very difficult for people to be able to do so. The amount of legislation now which is preventing you from doing the most basic form of activism on the ground where you live, and the general isolation of people within US communities. People are very isolated from their neighbours. People are very fearful of whatever's happening outside, whatever's happening down the road, you know, there's shootings and robberies and whatever. So people are kind of paranoid about getting to know people because they really don't know who this is that they're getting to know. It could be a mass murderer or have a crack lab in their basement. It's really gotten to that stage where people are that paranoid. And it really has gotten to a stage now where I think that if people are not already awake, then it may be best to just perhaps strike out on your own and get to some sort of safe ground. And look, with this, I'm not saying, you know, give up and run away and hide. Of course not. I mean, if there are people that are listening to you, then by all means, continue to shine your light and continue to maintain your activist disposition. Continue to make ripples and do what you can. But in the background, I really think you should be making sure that you're getting to safe ground as well. Because things are getting pretty tight, folks. Things are getting pretty volatile around the world. The global situation is getting pretty tense. And the stance that has been taken against activism, the stance that's been taken against the online community, the way the independent media is being vilified, the way the internet has just been transferred offshore as well. So now we don't have it protected by the US First Amendment. So we may see a few websites dropping offline. It wouldn't surprise me at all. So there's all sorts of things to consider, folks. But like I said, if you haven't done it already, then now is the time to set yourself up a little bit. Make sure you've got some safe ground. Make sure you've got some sort of supportive group around you. And just make sure you've got a backup plan is what I'm trying to say. I mean, alternate communities would be good if you can find conscious-minded people where you can go and put in permaculture and that sort of thing. But again, even doing that, it's going to be very difficult to maintain any real form of safety because we need to address the situation of government. We need to address the cacistocracy that's taken over this world because, you know, there isn't anywhere you can go and build a little alternate community and expect that you're going to remain safe. You know, if this scenario that's being cooked up unfolds the way they want it to, then it's going to affect everybody. There isn't going to be anywhere you can go. They'll just be somewhere that they'll come and pick off later. So, you know, as much as it is good to have these alternate communities, in many ways, if you're alternative community is not active in addressing the situation that created the need for you to create your alternate community, then it's really just part of the problem. You're just sort of putting a band-aid on things and you're kind of hiding away to get picked off later. I mean, alternative communities are definitely a bonus because you've got that support group around you, but you've got to be active. You've got to be continuing to address the system because we need to stop this system doing what it's doing, folks. We really do. We can't ignore it. Even if we strike out on our own, we can't ignore it. But it is getting to a point where I think people need a little bit of backup. They need to be in a place where they've got a good supply of food and water, a good way of looking after themselves, or perhaps even think about leaving the United States or leaving any of the countries that are going to be involved in this upcoming conflict, which looks like it may well unfold. Well, it's good to prepare for the possibility that it might anyway. I mean, there could well be a good deal of theatre in this. It could simply be a perception war, and you've got to look at it that way as well. I mean, a lot of it will depend on the outcome of the US election. If Hillary does make it through and she does end up being president, then of course we will be immersed in war because that is what that woman is all about. She is pure psychopath and she shouldn't even be running for office. But there is definitely tension in the air, and we are most certainly on the verge of some change in some direction. Now, and last week I said it's time to prepare. It's time to prepare for trials and tribulations, to maintain that thick skin that you've developed over the last year, but to now center yourself in your heart and make sure you keep a balance through all this because it has to get worse before it's going to get better, folks. It simply is the way it is. I mean, things are simply not bad enough for enough people to wake up for us to be able to affect some real change. So it has to get worse. That's just the way it is. But through all of that, if you're someone who is awake, now you are going to start coming into yourself. Now you're going to start coming into your power. Now you're going to start seeing what it was all about, because when things start turning pear-shaped, a lot of the people out there in the community are going to need guiding hands and going to need guiding lights. They're going to need people who know what's going on, people who saw it coming and prepared for it and can at least help lead people to some sort of personal safety, in as much as you can lead people back to themselves and help people see the good that can come from this and the empowerment that can come from this. I mean, the system has to collapse, I suppose, before we're going to see the golden age that we want, before we're going to see humankind develop any type of free society. So I guess that's just the way it is, folks. And it's kind of like childbirth, isn't it? You know, this is the birth of a new consciousness, the birth of a new time for mankind. But the birth of anything is a painful process. And in order for the new to come through, then the old has to kind of be cast by the wayside. But now's the time when we can decide what that new reality, what that conscious shift will be, because we're the ones that will create it. And we can create the one we want, folks. We don't need this new world order psychotic monstrosity that they want to create. We can create something new, but it can be what we want to create. All we have to do is see the opportunities as they come to us, because there's opportunity in all crisis, folks. We're heading in for a time of crisis. We're really in a time of crisis now. And it's all opportunity. All of these things that are bringing change to the world give us the ability to remake things into something far, far better than what we've got now. It's just realizing that we're the ones that need to participate in making these changes happen. I mean, the powers that believe they be are trying to bring about changes that they want. And if we don't step up, then they will do so. But when it gets ugly, folks, it gives you an opportunity to really connect with people around you. It gives an opportunity to start creating the world that you want from that chaos. You know, we can intervene ourselves and we can change the direction things are going, folks. I think that's what this time is, and I think that's what we're going to see come of this. You know, even though it has to get ugly, I don't think there's anything to fear. I think it's all how it has to be. I think this is how we woke up. This is how we created a wonderful, wonderful world. This is just how we did it. You know, I think the world that we want is right there at our fingertips. All we have to do is make it happen. This is just the process that we went through to realize that future. I mean, that's the thing about the human species, folks. While people still have things, while people are in their comfort zones, they really don't feel motivated to act. You know, there's a saying that a man is never truly free until you've taken everything from him. But once you have taken everything from the people, that's when you become free. And that's when it doesn't matter. You have nowhere else to go but forward. And that's when you will be prepared to stand up for yourself. And unfortunately, that's what it's going to take for many people. You know, as much as we don't want it to get to that point, it's becoming apparent now that that's simply what it's going to take for many people. But we can find opportunities in all of it, folks. No matter how ugly it gets, every time it gets ugly, it gives you an opportunity to reach out to the person next to you. It gives you an opportunity to build a bridge with someone. It gives you an opportunity to make a difference in someone else's life and thereby make a difference in your own life. Now, we're getting to a point, folks, where we're being forced to stand up for ourselves and we're being forced to stand on our own two feet, and we're being forced to realize that we are the only ones that are really going to look after us. I mean, that's how all the people in Syria feel, folks. That's how all the people in Yemen feel. When it gets to that point where your country has been destroyed and you're in that situation where the world not only isn't listening but are supplying arms to the people who are bombing you, then you realize that it's only you who can make a difference. And unfortunately, the West is going to see some of that, I think. You know, but what I'm hoping is that they will be able to circumvent it, that they will stand up for themselves and they will nip it in the bud right before the stroke of midnight. But we are running out of time in order to make this happen, folks, because there is a concerted attack being mounted against the independent media. There is a big effort to shut down a lot of very informative channels. We've seen the rise of the YouTube Heroes program, which allows people to mass flag channels and have them removed. And we've also seen the Google Jigsaw program, which is effectively going to blanket the internet with political correctness, which will effectively shut down so many websites and shut down so much free information and so much free speech, because it will just be deemed as hate speech. And of course, the result of this will probably see certain people being barred from using the internet. And once they bring in, you know, retinal scans and thumbprints and stuff on computers, it will be very easy to do this sort of thing, which is what this is all about. So there is a real effort to undermine the independent media and to start closing down channels, folks. And there's an effort from within the independent media as well. The independent media has been greatly infiltrated. Because, of course, the best way to destroy something completely is to destroy it from the inside. And the independent media has most certainly been subject to that sort of attack as well. But as I was saying last week as well, it's very important that people get some focus through this period. It really is. And be very careful that the thoughts you are thinking are your own thoughts as well. I mean, there's so much disinformation out there, folks. There is so many people who are attempting to divide the movement and divide the response and spreading distrust. And it's very important that people look at this. It's very important that people realize how they're being played and how they're being manipulated. And we're at a real crossroads here, folks. We're at a point where the mainstream media is absolutely failing, and the alternate media, the independent media, is starting to break its way into the mainstream a little bit. So be very careful of the many disinformationists out there who are attempting to spread distrust. You know, there's people out there that are literally saying that anybody who has ever been on television is part of the Illuminati. You have to be Illuminati to get on television. That's how stupid people are, folks. And that's the degree of disinformation they're telling. These people don't realize just how easy it is to actually get on television. And of course, the reason they're doing this, folks, is because it's very important that we do break into the mainstream, because that's how we're going to get the message to vast amounts of people. And these people are assuring that if anybody from the independent media does manage to break through into the mainstream, they're going to be instantly distrusted, and there's going to be a hate campaign and a disinformation campaign mounted against them to try to discredit them. And that's what it's all about, folks. That's why people make comments like that. That's why people say that all opposition will be controlled and that anybody who's ever been on TV is part of the Illuminati, because it's a standard COINTEL operation. So be very, very careful that you're thinking your own thoughts, and judge people by what they say and what they do, not by what other people are saying about them. You know, it's our propensity to police our own thoughts and to jump on bandwagons and think what everybody else is thinking that is so effective at leading us down the garden path and controlling the way we think. And it is very, very important that we always check to make sure that we are thinking our own thoughts. But I think we've reached break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, it's really a fine line looking at a lot of this stuff, folks. It's really difficult to present this type of information to people and to present it to them in a positive light. I tell you, it does get a little challenging. And I do very much attempt to keep the shows positive and keep the shows empowering and keep the shows solution-based. But by the same token, one has to be aware of what's going on. But of course, when you start presenting this information to people, you get accused of propagating fear porn or lowering people's vibration or whatever. And again, this is because people have attachment to the outcome of all this sort of stuff. I mean, I just look at this as an observer, and I just see what's coming down, and I see what's being rolled out, and I call it for what it is. I don't see the point in ignoring what's going on, and I think there are too many people out there who, when looking at this information, they simply label it fear porn and look the other way. And I think that many of these people are doing the government's work for them. I think many of these people are lulling people into a sense of complacency, where they're simply not paying attention to their surroundings. This is why I've been saying it's time for people to pull their heads out of their rabbit holes and pay attention to their surroundings. Of course, this has been misconstrued by a lot of people, and they've taken it for me to mean that you should not research and you should not investigate, and that is absolutely not what I'm saying. I think you should research and you should investigate everything you can, but don't allow yourself to get too distracted. And while you're researching, continue to keep one eye on your surroundings, because what's happening around you is far more important than what happened in the past and what brought us to this point. I mean, it would be nice to know everything and how we got here and who is really to blame, who we can point the finger at, because there's so many options to choose from. But in all of it, folks, we need to pay attention to what is happening around us, because the human race really is facing a clear and present danger. And bear in mind that in the 20th century, the largest amount of human death, the largest amount of human suffering, the largest cause of death in the 20th century was government. And that's not from government waging war. In fact, that doesn't even count the figures that were killed in war. This is just death by government, and it's death of citizens at the hands of their own government. And just think about that and let that sink in a little bit, folks. There were approximately 262 million people who were killed by their own governments during the 20th century. That was by far the leading cause of death of the 20th century, and that should be a little bit of a wake-up for people. These are citizens of various countries who were murdered by politicians whom they had employed to manage things for them. These politicians turned around and had their police brainwashed enough to start murdering their own citizens and carrying out crimes against their own populace. And that's what we're seeing now, folks. The police in Western societies are carrying out crimes against the populace all the time. They are doing it because the fear of terrorism, the threat of terrorism, has infiltrated into their training, and now they've been trained to view every citizen as being their enemy, and because they think that it's the law for them to do so. Because we live in a situation where criminal activity has become law, and any defense to criminal activity has been classified as a crime. That's the way it goes, folks. You know, the government carries out wholesale crime against its population. It enslaves its population. It steals, extorts money from them. It brutalizes them. And if they complain, it incarcerates them or it kills them. And it calls them criminals for complaining. You know, the whole world has become backwards, folks, and now the noose is being tightened. As I said before the break, the advent of the YouTube Heroes program and Google Jigsaw is going to see a lot of people being squeezed out. It's going to see a severe undermining of the independent media, and you're going to see a lot of channels and websites being closed down. And the ones who are telling you to remain complacent and keep your head down the rabbit hole, you can be guaranteed that these sites will stay up and stay online, folks. But anybody who is pointing out government corruption and suggesting that it's time for people to make a stand, you'll find will very likely get closed down. Because, of course, anything that is speaking out against the government is going to be seen as hate speech. And even when you look at the Homeland Security guidelines, folks, they put people who respect the Constitution in the United States and people who think the borders should be secure are listed in the same category as ISIS and Al-Qaeda and potential right-wing terrorists. So you've really got to look at how this is being played, folks. Anybody who thinks outside the box, anybody who questions government at all, will soon be classified as a dissident. And of course, it will be illegal to dissent because this will be seen as hate speech and incitement, and these people will start disappearing if we don't start paying attention, folks. That's sort of how ugly it's getting. And those who are lulling you into a sense of complacency and naming anybody who's calling this stuff out as promoting fear porn are really doing the government's work for them, folks. So be careful where you're being led and be careful what you're thinking. Make sure what you're thinking are your own thoughts. And be careful and be sure to pay attention to your surroundings. It's extremely important that we do this. You know, and the sheer concept of information lowering your vibration is really a bizarre concept when you look at it, folks. It's people's choice to have their vibration lowered by attaching negative emotion to the information that they're receiving. It's basically people's inability to process certain forms of light, and I've done entire shows about this because ultimately, folks, all information is light. That's what it is. Light is knowledge. And people simply have difficulty processing certain forms of light. You know, enlightenment is a very destructive process. It really is. It's a breaking down of everything you thought to be true. And the pure irony of New Age mentality that lives in fear of lowering their vibration by looking at negative information, this is basically living your life in a state of fear of processing certain types of information. This is not enlightenment. And this is not living your life in a state of high vibration. It's living your life in a narcissistic bubble and living your life in a state of fear. Because that's what a lot of the New Age movement is based on. It's a fear of lowering your vibration. When really, if you're connected to source, looking at real information does not lower your vibration. In fact, it inspires you to make change. Now, there was a wonderful quote by somebody, I can't remember who made the quote, but they said, when you look into the mirror of evil, what you see reflected back to you is not the evil in yourself, but it is the beauty in yourself. And the reason that happens, folks, is because when you look into the mirror of evil, it gives you the opportunity to heal that evil. But you have to acknowledge its existence in order to heal it. And that is being a warrior. That is being in a state of high vibration, folks. You can't go through life with blinkers on, refusing to look at information which you believe is not part of your reality, because it is part of your reality, or your refusal to look at it is perpetuating that reality. And it is your fear that is causing you to not look at it, your fear of not being able to control your own mind and not being able to control your own physical self, not being able to control your own vibrational self. It's because you're disconnected from source. And so the only source of energy you're able to get is from looking at pretty things and looking at nice things and feel-good things. This is energy harvesting, and it's harvesting energy from things which are not source, and it's based in fear. So people really do need to look at what they're doing and realize that it is people's negligence in facing reality and people's refusal to look at that which is happening right around them, their refusal to acknowledge the suffering of other people, which is allowing this suffering to continue. You know, there are so many people out there now who are intent on focusing only on the positive and are intent on raising the vibration of this planet by locking all negative information out of their psyche. And by doing so, they are in a state of constant fear of ever having their vibration lowered. They don't realize the damage that they're doing. And they don't realize that this entire so-called positive stance that they think they're taking has its foundation rooted deeply in fear. And the vibrational signal that they're sending out is exactly the opposite of what they're intending. And it's unfortunate that people are not prepared to look a little deeper at themselves to see where the real foundation of their belief system is coming from. And really the problem is the belief system itself. You know, why would you believe that this is what you need to do? Why not work from experience? And folks, I've put myself in situations where I've stared death in the face and I've seen absolute carnage around me, and it's only ever served to inspire me. It's only ever served to fascinate me that I would find myself in that situation and I would be given an opportunity to move through that fear and to move through that situation and to potentially heal that situation. I've always found it fascinating that me, a social misfit guitar player from the southern reaches of Australia, could find myself in that sort of a position. So it's really how you look at things, folks. It's how you choose to process this stuff. And it's imperative that people really do look at what the root core of their belief system is and what the foundation of their actions are. And this is true in so many aspects of our lives, folks. It really is. I mean, not just when looking at things that are fearful, not just in attempting to keep your vibration high, but what is the root motivation of your actions in everything that you do? Like when you're being kind to people, when you're giving to people, what is the root motivation in your choice to give to people? Because sometimes we are very deceptive in our decisions to give to people. Very often we're not really giving to them, but we're giving to ourselves. And that's something that we need to look out for as well. And what I mean by that is that very often we may wish to inspire the favor of someone. Very often we'll give to someone and then we will feel that that person is obligated to perform a certain action or act in a certain way in response to our giving to them. So that wasn't really a gift. That was really a debt that you gave them. You gave them a debt that they didn't really ask for, and you did it under the guise of helping them or being kind to them or gifting them with something. And a lot of people do this. They do it unbeknownst to themselves, but they do it. I mean, even if you get to the point of taking a woman out for the night and buying dinner and expecting sexual favors at the end of the night, this is a similar thing. You know, if you give a gift to someone and you expect something back in return, then what you gave was not a gift. What you gave was a debt, or a potential debt, or the hope of coercing someone into performing certain actions that you would like them to perform, or reciprocating towards you in a certain way that you would like. And that is not a gift. You know, if you really want to know the joy of giving, try doing random acts of kindness sometimes during the day. I mean, sometimes I will go to the supermarket and I'll buy the groceries of the person shopping next to me. And look, I'm not buying them a trolley of food, folks. I only go to the small aisle where you've got the basket because I only shop for one person. But now, very often I'll spend $20 or $30 on buying the person's groceries next to me. And it's someone that I've never met before, someone that I've never seen before, but someone that looks like they're having a particularly hard time or a bit of a difficult time with things, looks like money's a little bit tight for them at the time, and they happen to be in the aisle next to me, and my intuition tells me that I should give to this person, and so I do. And this is a person, like I said, that I've never seen before and will likely never see again. And doing that can be incredibly rewarding, folks. I did that to a woman once in the supermarket in Byron Bay. She'd just spent money on the shopping. She'd gone through the checkout before me, and she'd got to the point where she said, oh, you better put one item back because I only have $20 with me. And I told the checkout operator to keep it and just throw it all onto my bill. And I paid for the entire lot. And at the end of it, when we got through the checkout, she offered me the $20 that she was going to spend. And I said, no, I can't take your last $20 from you. You should go home and spend that on your daughter. And she burst into tears right there in the supermarket. She told me that she had never felt that kindness from someone and that I had changed her perception of the human race. I'd changed her perspective of humanity, and I'd given her a new hope and a new lease on life. And I taught her that not all people were bad, that not everybody was out to get you, and there are actually good people in the world who will just help you because they can. And that sort of a thing can really touch someone, folks. Even a smile towards the right person can make a huge difference in somebody's lives. And when you give to people randomly, just because your intuition tells you to do so, it's an incredibly rewarding thing. You don't need for them to give anything back to you. Just seeing the light that you can spark in their eyes is truly one of the most rewarding things that you can do. Just to touch someone else's life like that is a really beautiful thing, folks. And when you do that sort of stuff, you know, it inspires you and it attracts good energy to you, you know. And I'm not saying just go out of your way and give everything away to people and make yourself a target and become a charity for people, but just listen to your intuition and allow yourself to give unconditionally to people who you may not be attracted to or may not have anything you want from them or anything, just random strangers who need a helping hand. You know, you can literally change the world by doing this sort of things, folks, because it inspires people to go out and make a difference on their own. You know, people that you do this for tend to pay it forward, and they do it to someone else, and they tend to look at things a little bit differently, and that creates ripples, and that's what we need. You know, every little bit helps. And I think that people, just by examining their actions and looking at the real foundation in what they're doing, can really make a difference, not only in their lives, but to the entire world. But whatever we do and whatever steps we take to move forward, we've really seriously got to get out of this energy harvesting that's going on between people, most especially in the independent media. You know, we've got to get some focus. We don't need all of the empty portals to wake up. We just need some coordination from those who are awake. We need people who are awake to become inspired and to face the system in the right way. But they're only going to be able to do that by coordinating their efforts and working together, realizing that we're all fighting a common foe here. We're all looking in the same direction and we're all working towards a common goal. It doesn't matter what your belief system is if you've adopted one along the way. What we need to really focus on is emancipation for the human race. You know, we need to free ourselves from this slavery system and open all these rabbit holes up for investigation. We need to realize that all of the problems that we're facing are simply symptoms of systemic corruption. This is something that I've gone through time and time and time again with people. To realize that that's why I'm saying that you need to get your head out of your rabbit hole, because your rabbit hole is a symptom of systemic corruption. And until you address that, a rabbit hole is never going to be free for you to explore. A rabbit hole is still going to exist. The reason the rabbit hole is even there is because of systemic corruption. That's why all the mysteries are there. That's why all this death and destruction and war and mayhem happens. That's why governments have got away with killing 262 million people in the 20th century, simply because of the systemic corruption that the people have allowed to continue, mostly via their refusal to look at it or acknowledge it. You know, that's the problem, folks. We've got to acknowledge what's really going on here. We've got to acknowledge the fact that this whole system is being run by a crime gang. I mean, what these governments are doing is unconscionable. What they're doing in Yemen and Syria and all the wars, all the countries they've destroyed is unconscionable. But what they're doing to their citizens in our own countries is also unconscionable. You know, just to treat people this way, just to have people living their lives in states of abject poverty and in states of such incredibly manufactured scarcity is unconscionable. It truly is. And the ruling parasites at the top, they just get off on this stuff, folks. They see people as being worthless. They just see people as being collateral damage and just the useless plebs, the useless eaters who can be treated like sheep and cattle and just function to the whim of the ruling parasites. And we have to stop doing this, folks. We have to stop complying. Now, otherwise, you know, it's just what we're going to get. I mean, the way we're going is a direct result of our failure to act and our failure to acknowledge these truths. You know, and our propensity to follow leaders all the time, folks, and look at all of the stuff that we're getting in the independent media and be so entertained by it and take everything everybody's saying as the gospel truth or suggesting they're a shill if they don't agree with everything we say, you know. Like when you're listening to people, folks, everybody, even me, it's important, it's imperative that you realize that what you're listening to is someone's perspective based on the information that they've got and how they've processed that information. I mean, that's all I'm giving you on any of these shows, folks, is my perspective on what I see before me, how I've analyzed it and the way I see it unfolding and what I think the scenarios are, what the logical conclusions are to me. You know, that's all I've ever presented to you and that's all anybody has ever presented to you. And ultimately it's up for you to find the truths for yourself. But really the only truth you're really going to find and really going to know is the truth of yourself. And until you're prepared to look there, all the rest is just a distraction. I mean, you're here to experience you ultimately. That's what you came here for. And nobody else is going to help you with that. It's up to you to do that. But you have to remember who and what you are, and you have to be prepared to be proud in that and be prepared to live the experience and to go forward and to not have a stake in the outcome. I mean, it's a temporary existence anyway, folks. It's what you do while you're here that makes a difference. The information that you gather, the lives that you affect, the difference you can make, that's what makes the difference. And people have to realize that, and they have to get out of the fear of expressing themselves. It's really imperative that we do that at this time, folks. And we've got to step back and really see things for what they are and see the potential that we have and see the opportunity for real positive change that this time is providing for us if we jump up and seize the moment and take the opportunity and grab it with both hands and do what we can to make a difference in our own corner of the world, or at least become a shining light for others. Do what we can to help others. Those who are shining their light, do what you can to help them. I mean, there's got to be ways that you can get involved, and there are ways that people can get involved. Even if it's just supporting those who you know are on the right track and are speaking the truth, and I'm not saying follow them as leaders, but at least help people make a difference. If there are people shining their light, then help that light to shine. You know, we can all make a difference, folks. All we have to do is believe in ourselves and believe in the truth of this species and believe in the truth of our hearts, and we will move forward to a positive place. You know, nobody really knows what that road is going to be, what the path is going to look like. But if we get ourselves in the right vibration again and be prepared to look at the negative and realize that if you're connected to source, it's not going to lower your vibration. It's just going to give you the opportunity to heal that problem. Then we can make a difference. We've got to shine our light everywhere, folks. That's what enlightenment is. It's bringing light to the darkness, but we have to acknowledge the darkness in order to do that. You know, and even with all the stuff that I brought to you at the beginning of the show, all of that seemingly negative information, you know, the dark side, looking at what's really going on and seeing how things could unfold or how they have the potential to unfold, even looking at that, I mean, I find it incredible that I happen to be living in that time when all of this stuff could happen, because I can see the change that it's going to make to the human experience, but I can also see the opportunity that it gives for a really good and positive change to come for the human experience if mankind is willing to acknowledge the shadow and acknowledge the darkness. And it's important to acknowledge the difference between fear and concern. I mean, when I look at all of this stuff, folks, I'm not in fear of the future. I'm concerned about the direction that we're going. And there's a difference, because when you move into fear, you become paralyzed. But when you become concerned, then you can move into a state of positive action. So all of it provides opportunity, folks. And really, when you look at it all, there's really nothing to be in fear about, because this is a temporary existence anyway. And if you don't have a stake in the outcome, then you begin to see things from a different perspective, and you see that it's really about the experience, and it's about what you leave behind. You know, there's been all sorts of experiences that mankind has been through. Some of them have been absolutely horrendous. And now we're seeing all of them laid out before us. You know, the age of information, we are aware of all of the real holocausts that have happened on this earth. We're aware of the Holocaust that was carried out by Stalin, the Holocaust that was carried out by Mao Zedong. The Holocaust by Mao Zedong was incidentally supported by J.D. Rockefeller, who said that the experiment was a fantastic thing and worked really well. The experiment saw the death of around about 40 million people, folks. So these are the sorts of things that these people get up to. But we've got all of that information now. We know about the Holocaust of 66 million Christians at the hands of Bolshevik Jews. And we know that the one Holocaust we're told about, which is the extermination of 6 million Jews during World War II, actually didn't happen. And so we've got all of this information now, folks. And so it's an incredible time for mankind. Even though the darkness is right here at our doorstep, it's always darkness before the dawn. And we have an opportunity to really make that dawn happen. We have an opportunity to really step into our power now. I mean, like I said, it's going to get a little bit more ugly yet, because it's necessary to, because that's what it's going to take to wake more people up. But still, that does give us the potential for change, and all you have to do is maintain your focus and maintain your balance through what is coming. And there is something definitely coming, folks. There's something brewing on the horizon. It's anybody's guess what it is, but there is most definitely something brewing, and hopefully it won't be World War III. Hopefully this is just theatre. And I have a kind of a feeling that it is, folks, because, you know, major war is bad for business, and it's really business that runs the world. And even if there was some sort of a major war, it's very doubtful in my mind that it would be a nuclear war. I really question the possibility of a nuclear war ever happening on this earth. I have my own reasons for having those questions, but I really don't think that it's something that we're going to see. I think if there is all-out war, it's going to take a different form to nuclear war. I think it will be most likely carried out in a way that we least expect. And so much of what we see from the powers that be is really about perception control. That's what it's about. It's really about maintaining the perception of threat and the perception of everything being right on the edge. The perception of the world is on the brink of destruction, and we desperately need our governments to look after us. That's what a lot of this is about, folks. But I don't really believe much of what they tell me in the mainstream media anymore. I mean, I look at it and I comment on it and I sort of watch it with interest, but I kind of take everything they say with a grain of salt these days, folks. I have very little faith in the mainstream media to report the truth on anything, and the same goes for governments. But having said all that, folks, even with all of the stuff that's going on, I still think this is a time of opportunity, but I also think that it is imperative that people have a backup plan. As I said near the start of the show, if you're out there and awake, just make sure you've got some high ground somewhere to get to. And by saying that, I'm saying make sure you've got a support group. Make sure you've got something ready to fall back on, because we may just be in for a very interesting time over the next few months. Well, it wouldn't surprise me anyway. But look, folks, I think we're here at the end of the show now, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I won't be able to do a show next week because I will definitely be in travel mode and transit mode, so there's no way I'm going to be able to talk to you then. But I should be back on air by the following week, which is the 21st of October, so I'll look forward to speaking to you then. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and do take very good care until we next speak. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.